Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
You are wonderful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Amen. So that's my job. That was my job today, is your new identity. My new identity is just to say, you're wonderful. You're royalty. And I felt like the Lord showed me, you know, people aren't going to believe you. And here's why. This is what I've heard a lot. Oh, Tracy, you're so skinny. You don't know, okay? You don't know what I've gone through. Oh, Pastor Tracy, you're white. You really don't know. It's easy for you to say you're wonderful and you're beautiful. You've had it easy. Oh, Pastor Tracy, you grew up in a Christian home. You don't know what I've gone through. Obviously, you can accept that you're beautiful and that you're wonderful, but it's hard for me. I know I'm supposed to think that way, but it's really hard for me. And so the Lord just wants me to tell you my testimony. Is that okay? Amen. All right. So I grew up in a home with really perfectionistic parents. And it's because they grew up in homes that were very perfectionistic. They were also pastors' kids, you know, so everybody's eyes were on them. And same with me, perfection. Anybody here grew up in a perfectionistic home where you had to just do everything perfectly? Yeah. And so so everything was perfect. We went to church where there were long, long services, and there was no kids' class. And guess what the kids had to do? Sit and be very quiet. So some of y'all can totally relate already. And if you look to the side, somebody from behind might just turn your little head back to the front. So this is how I grew up. There were no words of affirmation. There was no I love you ever. There was no good job, never. There was no, oh, you look nice. No. A very harsh disciplinarian environment. It was pretty much, well, when your dad gets home, I'm going to tell him what I did wrong that day. And then he would get home and there would be the spank with a belt. So that was what I grew up with. Yes. Yes. I can relate. And so this was the environment. And do you know, my little mind was just getting, you don't do anything right. You just can't do anything right. Because I tried so hard to be perfect. I tried really, really hard. So this went on. I was about 13 years old. And one of the elders from church had to give me a ride home. Wes Williams, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. Nicest brothers at church. And as we're driving along, he said, you know, your dad loves you so much. And I was in that passenger seat, and I just looked out the window and just started crying and crying. And I just thought, did my dad say that he loves me? My dad must have said something. What did he say? Because I had never heard those words. And I just was so embarrassed. I was crying. I was trying to, you know, wipe the tears. And just when it was time to get out of the car, I didn't want him to see. But just to show you how broken I was, I really thought so poorly about myself. And last week we talked about negative thinking. I mean, I had no strength within me to think that I was anything valuable at all, even in this, you know, Christian environment. And the Lord was doing different things in that time to help me and to bless me. But for the most part, you know, it was just really tough. During my teen years, we were so poor, I had really bad clothes. And it was like my parents didn't get, when you go to public school, you have to have nice clothes. Am I right? Had really, really bad clothes. Bad clothes. I was so insecure. I felt so bad about myself. And then in college, I got really bad cystic acne. Really bad acne. I mean, my face would just be red, you know, and it was just really, really shameful. So I just was like dying inside. I had been sexually abused. I felt dirty. I just was dying inside all the time. During my teen years and my college years. And I'm just painting a picture here, okay, of what God has had to work with. During my teen and my college years, my sister was going through reconstructive surgery because she was born with a birth defect called cleft lip and palate, which I think explains why my parents, when I was young, were a little checked out. They were, my brother and sister were born with birth defects. Constant trips to the hospital. I mean, they were probably worried. They were a little bit traumatized. So they were just trying probably not to cry in front of me, you know? But they probably thought, oh, Tracy, she's fine. She's fine. But I never got, I don't remember them really even looking at me, you know? We were just going through trauma. And so, like, I totally get it. I totally understand my parents. So during my teen years, my little sister is going through all these surgeries and going through her teen years and feeling, you know, rejection by society because of her deformities. And so I started feeling very, very guilty that I was normal. I started feeling very, very guilty because people thought I was pretty, and I started to just hate myself. And so in college, so this is a very bad picture. Are we agreeing? God has done so much. I'm a walking miracle, like no joke. And so in college, I was getting this really bad acne. Part of me was glad because I could be messed up and I could have scars like my sister. So I started picking these zits, like, really bad. And it felt really good. And this was starting to become a soul tie. And I realized it when one day I went at night. It was every night. I would go and I would just go over my day and have all these negative thoughts as I'm just destroying my face. One night I had no zits. There was, like, nothing there. It was like a miracle. There was nothing. And I got mad. Because there was nothing, and I was like, and I just found something until I bled. And I thought, this is really sick. I'm not satisfied until I bleed. So this is really like a soul tie. I felt good hurting myself, and it's almost like cutting. It was like cutting. So I was like, I need to stop this. And I knew it was terrible, and my whole family's like, you need to stop that, you're gonna scar your face. And I tried and I tried and I tried, but it was like helping me feel better in a very sick way. So this was just one. I could tell you all kinds of other terrible habits I was picking up just to survive, you know, with guys and the attention from guys and all that stuff. But I just wanted to mention that specifically. So I hated myself. I remember thinking, I wish I could just be burned, and then I could just have a burned face, and then I wouldn't get so much attention from the guys, and I could be like my sister, and we would just be in the same boat. So I was very, very broken, and do you know, I'm in my 40s, and it has been a process of the Lord building me back up. Can anyone relate to me? The Lord is building us back up with messages of our new identity, saying, you're valuable, you're special. I have an amazing plan for you. So you want to hear a few things the Lord has done in my life? To hear about how he fixed me and has lifted me up. Thank you, Jesus. I started to have a sense of confidence. I mean, I'm standing in front of you speaking. Like, this is truly a miracle that I wouldn't even have the confidence to do this. I mean, I lead worship. It's truly a miracle that I would have a sense of inner strength. Of course, we learned about forgiving. Remember what forgiving is and isn't? It's not agreeing like that was right. You're not saying it was right. But I had to forgive my parents. Like layers upon layers. I don't know how many letters I have written to my dad. I mean, and I love him so much, you know, but I had to really forgive. And then the Lord would tell me, I needed to forgive again, and I was so sick of forgiving. Like, I've forgiven my dad so many times. And he would show me again. And so I would have to go through this process again of forgiving my dad, especially. Very harsh disciplinarian. And I mean, he's a wonderful guy, but he was doing the best he could. You know, he was doing the very, he thought he was being like the best dad ever. And let me just, here's a little parenthesis, okay? A lot of us here are parents, and we're going to do the very, very best we can, but it's going to be like, nailed it, right? Mothering, nailed it as I'm screaming at them. And so we're doing the best we can, and our kids are going to need to forgive us. Isn't that the truth? They're going to need to forgive us. So we forgive our parents, you know, we just go through that process of releasing them. And that's just, we live in a broken world. But God can cause them to forgive. And God can restore them. If God could, I've worried about my kids. And God's like, wait a minute. I restored you. I've lifted you up. Look at yourself. Can I do that for your kids? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. So true. So much forgiving. What we learned this summer was so very, very key. If there's anything you could ever keep in your pocket, it's how to forgive. And if you didn't get that lesson, you know, I just encourage you, find the podcast and listen on how to forgive. So, so crucial to just make yourself free, you know, making yourself free. And of course, in our program, Breaking Free is just one life-changing, right? Can I get a witness? Life-changing, okay? Praise God. So I forgave my parents many, many, many times. Encounters with the Lord. Just those face-to-face times with the Lord, ladies. When we have ministry prayer afterwards, take advantage of that time. During praise and worship, draw near to the Lord. Just say, God, I need to hear from you. God, I need to see you at camps, at youth camps. I would have an encounter with the Lord. And you know what he would show me? That he loved me, that I was valuable, that I had a future. Those camps are so, so crucial. The Lord will speak to you and it will change your soul. How else did God help me and restore me and build me up into this new identity? A million journal entries. I have so many journals at home. Does anyone here have a journal? Please, everyone, raise your hand. We need to be writing to the Lord and pouring out our heart to him. And you know what I would ask the Lord? I would say, because I realized I was very insecure. When you're insecure, you know it. You can feel it. I was getting bullied and stuff. It was just obvious, you know? I would ask the Lord, and I've asked him many times, Lord, what do you think about me? In my journal, Lord, what do you think about me? And I'm going to just write down whatever I hear. This is an excellent exercise. And the only challenge to that is sometimes it was so wonderful, I would be like, that was probably just me, you know? That's why we got to get the word, too, because then we're like, that is God. Oh, my gosh, because you said that in your word. You dance over me. You rejoice over me. Zephaniah 3:17. And so many more. Song of Solomon has blessed me so much. And Proverbs 31. Thank you, Lord. I had prophetic people, you know, during prayer times. And I remember one meeting with Al Fury there in Las Vegas. And someone came up to me and I kept getting the same prophetic word every time someone would go to pray for me. It was like this. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Like people who did not know each other. And I was like, okay, stop. Embarrassing, but I realized God keeps telling me I'm beautiful because I need to hear this so bad. I need to know this so bad. And that's why I'm here today to tell you you're so beautiful. You really, really, really are. You're so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Some other high points to my restoration process. Oh, another area, getting really good teachings. on who you are. Really good teachings. Proverbs 31 has just absolutely rocked my world, especially when Pastor Deborah says, this is you. This is you deep down on the inside. It's just going to come out. This woman who works so hard, so savvy, you know, and isn't relying on just her looks, right? She says beauty is fleeting and charm, you know, is false. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's our DNA. That's deep inside of us, and it's just coming out. So getting really, really good teaching. And in a moment, we're going to look at our, let's go ahead and do that right now. Do you have your flyer that you picked up? We are talking about how we are going to receive our new identity. You've had labels in the past. What's a label? I'll tell you one of my labels, but you have to promise you won't ever say it, okay? Because they used to call me Spacey Tracy. That was my label. It was awful because I was so forgetful and I was so blonde. And I lived with that for so many years. And I finally had to start telling my family members, when I was starting to get a little stronger in the Lord, please don't call me that. What is a label you've had? You know, ugly? What have they called you? And it's time to say no. Put a stop to that. You know, fat? No. I'm not accepting those words. I'm not accepting that label anymore. And then we got to replace it with our new identity. And I had to start telling myself, hey, I'm smart. I'm smart. I'm sharp. I have the mind of Christ. God gave me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And just began to, like, insist. That's who I am, you know, and accept new identities. Amen, ladies? Amen. So let's look at these handouts. So this is an entire list of what the Word says of who I am. And listen, you are here with me today 1 hour. I cannot pump you full of your new identity. This is something we have to eat little by little every single day. Like food. You know, ladies, a couple years ago in 2015, I had just kind of a little burnout moment. And it was the perfect storm. My prayer life was suffering. I wasn't eating correctly. And I just had a total burnout. And I had to kind of restart everything, look at my life in a very serious way. I got some counseling. Yes, I met someone and just to pour out my heart and say, this isn't working. And pastors knew about it. I asked, I need to see someone. They said, yes, do whatever you need to do. Get better. And really, all I needed to do was just get back into my prayer life and eat right and obey the things the Lord told me. And do you know what I started to do? I started to digest exactly what you're reading and speak these things over my life. And so what I did is I cut them into strips, and then you can fold them and put them into a jar if you want and pull one out every day and say, what is my, like a vitamin, what's my identity for today? Let me meditate on this. And you might pull out, you know, I am a new creation in Christ. Chew on that all day. I'm a new creation. What I used to be is gone. And just think about it all day long. And what I had to do during that time is I would tape it to my mirror, and when I was brushing my teeth, even if I was in a hurry, boom, it was right there, okay? So please use these, or the Lord will give you some way, maybe on cards. I started taping things, and my family knew. Mom is working on herself, you know? And you could have your kids pull it out of the jar and say, hey, guys, let's see what God says about us. Shall we just push into our kids these new identity words and have them talk about it and what it means to them? Is that a good idea? Great idea, right? We want them to get this when they're young, too. Praise God. All right. And I just want to share, where are we? Okay. One thing that really helped me was when I rededicated my life to the Lord, And I had a real encounter with the Lord where I saw his face. It was like I could see him looking at me. And not with my eyes, but when I closed my eyes, I was like, I could see the face of Jesus. And I could tell how he felt about me from the look on his face. And he had the biggest smile. And I could just tell he totally accepted me, even though I felt like the biggest sinner on the planet. And he was just smiling. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I'm the biggest sinner. And do you know, I could tell from the look on his face what he thought about my sin. And you know what he thought about my sin? He couldn't remember. Have you ever talked to someone and you mention something and they just kind of look at you with that empty look like, Jesus went blonde in that moment. No, no joke. He didn't even, like, he removed my sin from his memory banks. No joke. He did not even remember. He didn't even know what I was talking about. And I just couldn't believe it. And I kept trying to remind him what I had done, why I felt so terrible. And he was just like, and he wanted to change the subject and talk about something else. And you know what he wanted to talk about? The things he had planned for me in the future. He said, I have some incredible things for you. I have some exciting plans for you. And I was like, what? But I just sin, you know. Finally, I was able to believe that he had really erased my sins completely, that he loved me, he accepted me, and that he had an amazing plan for me. And he actually did. Within just a couple months, I was touring with these young musicians, singing songs in concerts, songs that God had given me that I wrote. For a 20-something-year-old, that is like the coolest thing ever, to be traveling around with your friends. Okay, I was doing live TV, like a Christian MTV show. How cool is that when you're a 20-something-year-old? God did not lie. He had some amazing adventures for me. Isn't that amazing? In just a few months after that experience. Oh, he's just so good. It's like I can see his face even right now. And after he showed me how he felt about me, my response to him was like, I just want to live for you, God. I just want to, whatever you, I just loved him. I loved him with all of my being. Do you love him today with all of your being? He's forgiven you. He sees you with such a big smile. He has such an amazing plan for you. Please do not think it's just for me, like for the people preaching. Each one of us, God's like, I have something so special for you. So special for you. My dad said something recently. he had a stroke, and so it just made him so childlike. And he shared with us, he said, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know, we know the phrase, we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart that only he can satisfy. He said, but God showed me that he has a U-shaped hole in his heart, and only you can satisfy. Isn't that amazing? I was like, ah, Dad, that's really sweet. It's true. You are so, so special. It's like if you saw the rainbow and there was no green, just imagine, you know, purple, blue, red, yellow, no green. Wouldn't you miss it? Wouldn't you miss it? What if there was no yellow? Imagine a rainbow with no yellow. You know, no purple. It's like when you're missing from God's family, he misses you. It's like, it's just not the same. He knows you. He's that big and infinite. He can actually know each one of us and feel that we're missing. Isn't that amazing? He is just so good. So, so good. I just want to, shall we chew on some scripture? Shall we read? Praise God. Let's look at Psalm 139. We're just going to look at one place. And, you know, in Jewish tradition, in the synagogues, they have a reading for each day of the year. How about if this is our reading for the day, this chapter? Let's just read it together. And it's good for us. It's good for our spirit. And if you have your Bible, I love hearing pages of Bibles. I grew up with that. I love that sound. And here I am with the laptop. But anyway. I love paper Bibles. I love how they smell. Okay, let's read. Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows what we're going to say. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. It sounds like he's protective. Amen. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. King David's mind is being blown here by God's love, by God's attention for him. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall what? Lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. If the Lord sends you to a faraway mission field, he will lead you. He will hold you. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. He's saying, I could never get away from you, even if I tried. For you formed my inward parts. Ladies, let's think about this. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Where was your mom when you were pregnant? The Lord was right there covering you. Verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame, verse 15, was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The Lord took great pains to form you. He was right there giving you your unique personality. You know, that part you don't like I'm so loud. No, God gave you that. He made you a leader. Oh, I'm so, you know, whatever. In my case, it's like, I'm so, you know, creative. Like, I wish I could be a little more organized, you know? So messy, might be. God has told me, I made you that way, okay? He has made us. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. What? God has some plans for us. He's so excited. He's so excited about some things. The Bible says he has good works planned in advance for us that we should walk in them. He's got some wonderful things, just like I had. Being on TV and touring with my friends, amazing, amazing things. And then he has some tasks that will form our character. They're not all just fun. It will shape us and form us like a workout, causing us to be faithful and strong. Verse 17, and again, King David is just flabbergasted. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. I'll just add this. There's an astrophysicist, a Christian, he's a genius, literally. And he can prove mathematically that in any moment during the day, the Lord can be with you in infinite moments and have infinite thoughts toward you at any moment of the day. Isn't that amazing? He can prove it mathematically. It was like, wow, God is not in a hurry. Each moment he's having so many thoughts about you because he's infinite. When I awake, I am still with you. And then we come to a piece in this chapter that's a little perplexing. David is talking about killing people. And I'm always like, whoa, it's like such a right turn, you know. But the way I see it is, that was his job. His job was to be the protector of Israel, to get rid of the bad guys. Ever since Goliath, that was his job. I'm getting rid of the bad guys in Israel. So when he sees how much God loves him, he says, I just want to do my job for you, Lord God. Whatever you've called me to do, I just want to do it for you. This, when we get how much God loves us, we're going to have this response in our area of life as a mom, as a worker. So here's David's version. And remember, he was a very bloody man of war. That was his calling. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Passion. He's a soldier. He's a protector. He's very passionate. And the love of God will cause you to be super passionate about whatever he's called you to do. Amen? Do we get that? Last two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we know how special we are, the Bible is so clear, we are royalty. We are kids of the King. When we really realize how special we are in his eyes, it will cause us to say, cleanse me, Lord. I want to be pure. Search me. See if there's anything in me. It'll just provoke this desire for holiness. That's why the new identity is so crucial, to know how God sees you. Because when you know that you're a princess, you're going to say, oh, no. That is unbecoming of royalty. I will not touch a cigarette. I'm a king's kid here on the earth. I will not get angry at the person at the grocery store or whoever cut me off because that is unbecoming behavior to a king's kid. Now, when we see injustice, what should royalty do? Get mad. Okay, so we are here to bring righteousness and justice to this earth. When we hear about, you know, sex slaves and prostitution and things, we need to go in and say, hey, this is wrong. This is wrong. That something should stir up, you know, whatever the Lord, the justice in this earth should cause us to rise up. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a moment and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you in this place, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. You honor us. You lift us up. You cause us to rise up on wings and to soar with you. And we thank you. Lord, your ways are marvelous, and that my soul knows very well, like we just read. I pray that you would deposit in each girl here a message of your love for them. Let's just play some music. If we could just have a little soft music. And I would like everyone to find a pen. We're going to take a few minutes and just hear from the Lord. Just a couple moments. And I just feel he has a message for you. Like as if he had a rose for each one sitting here today and listening to the recording. God has a rose for you. And that rose is a message of truth about you, what he thinks about you. So find a pen and find somewhere to write. We're going to take a minute. The Lord wants to whisper in your ear and just give you your rose, give you your message, and say, I love you, my daughter. This is how I love you. This is how I see you. This is how I love you. So, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to open our hearts right now and open our minds to hear what you would say to us. And I want you to think about one thing about yourself that he finds beautiful. He wants to identify that thing to you right now. So he's going to highlight that to you. He's going to highlight that thing that he's given you. And for some of you, it might be four or five things. But I want you to just write down that one thing you know that God finds beautiful in you. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. And if you want to just hear him speaking, just write it verbatim. Just like I did in my journals. Just wrote whatever I felt the Lord was speaking. And then read it later. Think about it later. Thank you, Lord. Speak to your girls, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just receive it by faith. Say, thank you, Lord. Yes. Don't reject his gift to you today. That one thing about you, he sees and he smiles. Maybe that's all you have the faith for. It's just one thing, one aspect. And great faith says, there's many things about me God has given to me, and he finds beautiful. So just list those out. Let's take one more minute. Thank you, Lord. I just want to talk to you about what it means to be a Christian today. And I'll just dive right in. How do you know that you are a Christian headed for heaven? Is it because you call yourself a Christian and you come to church? No. That would be like me going to the Dodgers stadium, putting on a Dodgers uniform and saying, I'm a Dodger on the Dodgers baseball team. They would look at me like I was crazy, right? So to be a Christian, and that when you die, the Lord says, yes, I know you, come on in. It's actually a different process than just going to church and calling yourself a Christian. The only way to make it into heaven when you die is to be born again. This is what Jesus said very clearly in John 3. And the devil wants to mess up the word born again, make it seem so strange and so weird, but just think about it. Born again. No sins. When you're born, you're perfectly clean. You get a fresh, new start because Jesus took the sins and paid for them when he died on the cross. And he takes them away and forgets about them because he paid the punishment already. So born again, the idea is actually refreshing and wonderful and getting a fresh new start. So how is someone born again? The Bible is very clear from the very beginning to the very end. It is by believing and accepting the message of Jesus Christ and saying, I believe that 2,000 years ago, you died for my sins, took away the punishment, and took away my sins. And as soon as I believe, I get a fresh new start. And my name is in the book of life. When I die, I can go into heaven. It is as simple as that. That is the gospel. That's the good news that we preach. And so if you've never done that officially, you've never said a prayer saying, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me, took away my sins, and gave me a fresh new start, then today is your day. Today is your day. And just like we read, it's something, or this is what it says in Romans chapter 10. We didn't get a chance to read it, but it says, if you confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, you will be born again. Amen? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to say it with your mouth in a prayer to God and just confess it officially and say, I believe. I believe you took away my sins. You paid the price and are giving me a fresh new lease on life. So if you've never said this prayer, or even if you did and you feel like you kind of walked away from the Lord and you want to renew that agreement, you want to renew that vow before the Lord of believing, receiving a fresh new start, and abandoning your sins, leaving your sins behind, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. This is how we do it here. We count to three, and then you raise your hand. Are you ready? So if you've never done this prayer, just lift your hands when I count to three. If you want to redo it, you raise your hand when I count to three. And we'll say a prayer together, and then we'll give you some materials. We'll give you some books to help you to walk it out and walk with the Lord for the rest of your days. Amen? So here we go. One, if you love Jesus and you want to give your life to him, I'm talking to you. Two, if you want to renew your vows, I'm talking to you. Three, raise your hand today. Raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let's pray. And I'll pray and you repeat after me, okay? And we're going to declare with our mouth that we believe, okay? And we're all going to join with you, all right? So why don't we all just say this prayer with our beautiful sister, okay? Let's say, Dear Lord, I come to you today and I believe that you died for my sins and washed them all away. And you're giving me a new lease on life, a fresh start, and I will be born again, walking out my days hand in hand with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can we just give her a clap? Thank you, Lord. The word says he leaves the 99 for that one. And that when he finds that one, the angels start rejoicing. So there's a party in heaven. And I just wonder if after the service you could come and meet with me and I'll give you some books. Okay, wonderful. Congratulations. Important day in her life. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.